Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, brought to you by Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. April 3rd. I guess everybody knows it's the 3rd of April, so we will continue with where we left off last week.
We just reestablish that communique. So if the skin starts to respond and it's becoming flawless, then you know you're doing things properly. And, of course, the opposite of skin responding flawlessly is the hair falling out. So you begin to see, you know, what's really going on inside the body. I think it's kind of interesting.
Yes, indeed. You know, Dr. Bell, someone called here and was talking to our screener today, and they're very interested in your time machine. I don't know if you wanted to get into that today or if you'd like to get into that on another show.
Well, I can mention it. What do you mean, somebody called the station?
Yeah, somebody called here and apparently didn't want to get on the air, but did have a question concerning the time machine that you had worked on.
You don't remember the question?
Actually, I just got a note. I assume that they wanted general principles, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, remember I told when you guys were talking this morning on the Elizabeth show about reincarnation, and she was saying that this one girl is in two different dimensions?
Yes.
Well, it kind of rang a bell, because what she was really saying in my language is that her energy is not centered yet in one point. You know, we have one saying that I've learned that you walk, you have your foot in two worlds. That's one of the old metaphysical sayings. The one of two dimensions was kind of an interesting thing, but the thing about reincarnation that, you know, a lot of people will study reincarnation and get into it because they haven't really fully died and surrendered their last lifetime, and they've brought personality complexes forward into this one. But basically, all of what you are is all of what you've been, and you develop, you know, different aspects of yourself in each different lifetime. And if you don't feel in the last lifetime that you've finished up an aspect, you'll work on it again. But that, to me, is just surrendering totally into this dimension, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the time machine was which taught that, because of the three voids that I'd made into it, none of them into the past, they were all into the present and in the future. The time machine is a level of consciousness. It's an actual machine that produces this, but it's like getting inside of a nuclear accelerator and accelerating your entire body up towards the speed of light. In other words, all of the energies that come into your body are basically slowed down to the consciousness of this planet, to where you and I are. We have slowed our consciousness down so we can speak to each other like we are now on the radio here on the phone. We have slowed our consciousness down to speak to an audience. An audience has slowed its consciousness down to grow and feedback and tell their friends, and we're communicating like as one. Now, there's a lot of other people listening to a lot of other radio shows right now at this very moment on a lot of different subjects, because the rate of their consciousness, their vibratory rate, is not the same as ours. But those that are in our consciousness rate right now, we would be sharing pretty much the same reality. Each one of us would have a different interpretation of that reality, because each one of us has come from a different path to achieve this unification that we're sharing right now, you and I and the listeners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the time machine does is it causes the body to look at this particular reality that we're sharing, realities that other people are sharing, and pretty soon the time machine says, well, there are many realities and many groups out there, and being that energy follows thought, this sharing is falling into a particular resonant vibration or a particular cavity. And this cavity would be, let's say, the human race in the 20th century, about to enter the 21st century. That's the vibratory note, okay? Then the time machine would, like, scan other planets, other dimensions, and would look at other resonant notes. So we have, like, sub-octaves in our civilization that we're dealing with now. The time machine then adds all of these things up and jumps one step beyond all octaves. So you end up in a space whereby there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing. You are in an octave into yourself. Your reality, my reality in that time machine, was one of no other person on this planet, unless another person on this planet had made the same discoveries that I had made and was doing the same thing at the same time, and we could have met somewhere in another dimension. But I'll tell you one thing about that kind of work. It was incredibly fascinating. But as far as I can tell, at this time in the world, in the state of affairs that we're in, it has no purpose in our society other than the fact that it is attainable and then at some point in the future, you know, we can then go back into it. I would really love to build another one, much more sophisticated than the last one I built, because I learned so much from it. But the cost of the technology is high, and in time, the money will be there for that particular project, but right now it serves no purpose. Luckily, though, it worked on a resonant structure. To learn about time travel, I had studied like places like Livermore, University of Michigan, in the atomic and the atom smashing lab, where we were running particles up towards the speed of light. And when you run a particle up towards the speed of light, its time relationship changes with relationship to other particles that are not running up towards the speed of the light. In other words, energy is increasing. And it's the same thing in aging, you know. In aging, we have a tendency to synchronize ourselves in time with other people that are similar ages, and most of those people are going down, not up, in frequency. So we have a tendency to accept the different things that go on in that generation, which we're relating to, and then go along with them, status quo. The time machine is the opposite effect. And luckily, we're creating, from my research of the time machine, products like the receptor and all the other different products that came from that research. Because this allows a particle of creation to be expressed by the common person, or the everyday person that makes up the populace of the world, and something we can share. But the thing I was trying to say is, back when we were working with the University of Michigan, I realized I was working like I was 14 years old, and with my first government grant, it was all brute force. We were using huge machines that weighed literally tens of tons to accelerate particles towards the speed of light, to bombard, or we would direct these particles into things. And when they would collide with different things, we would look at the subatomic particles, because this would produce energy, and energy would then liberate itself in subatomic particles. This was the way of achieving interdimensional communication, which is a beginning stage of time travel. And one of the things that we said to ourselves, it was what I call the great nuclear delusion, and that was that we were giving these particles very short lifespans. You know, we were saying that these neutrinos were lasting billionths of a second, and all these kinds of things. Quarks were lasting billionths of a second. You know, hadrons were lasting billionths of a second. This is where the research was back in those days. Now, this is back in the mid-50s when I was involved with this research, and here we are in the 80s, 30 years later. So, the ignorance of man, like when he gave light a speed. Light has no speed, but man's consciousness, or his cognition of light, has speed. So, because, in other words, how fast can you observe a light and then and bring it to consciousness and voice it or feel it or think about it? That's what man called the speed of light. So we labeled all these stupid things because we produced this brute force environment. Well, what we were really doing was creating an environment that had a millionth of a life second. The environment that we were creating out of our ignorance by a brute force was an environment that allowed us to view into the inner workings of nature, and we were doing it by brute force. The time machine, on the other hand, allows you to go into and experience this through consciousness and through physical transformation. But the difference is, today in modern science, we're starting to realize these particles are there all the time, that we can only view them from time to time, and the limitations of our viewing have given them names like flavor, charm, beauty, truth, justice. These are the names of the particles now that used to be neutrino alpha X or something. You know, they put all these numbers on them. Now they actually have names.
And Dr. Bell, speaking of time, we are out of it.
Okay, great. Well, we had fun today. It was a real quickie. That's what I call a quickie, today's show.
Well, we'll be back again tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
All right, you guys have a nice day. And anybody wants any information on our products, give us a call at area code 714-499-2603, or write Dr. Bell, 891 Santa Ana Street, Laguna Beach, California, 92651. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fred Bell.
tuned to your talk alternative, 93.5 KFOX, Redondo Beach.
Finish that one up, and we go right into the next little ditty here. These are fun, these little shows. Very informative. Kind of miss time travel sometimes, but it was a little disorienting. In fact, it was majorly disorienting. So here we go. The next half hour. Yes, sir. We are going to have Dr. Fred Bell back on the line. Momentarily.
I told Jack Richardson, he was a skeptic years ago, and I sold him the ruby, and I saw Jack a while after he had that ruby, and he says, Fred, I'm not a skeptic anymore. He says, that ruby kept me up for 3 days. He only wears it a little bit, because the rubies stimulate the adrenals, too. They're all fire, because what happens is they relax the endocrine system, and the hormones in that system just go right to the brain and fire off the synapses at those rates, and the rates that are, all your feelings come from hormones. And what I cover in my seminar, I teach you how to manufacture hormones in your body, what to take, what foods, how all this stuff works, so you become doctors. I make doctors for everybody. Because you have to be a doctor to figure out all this stuff. So figure if you understand what's going on. See, we treat the system on three levels. That's the primary teachings of what we do in the holistic New Age movement. The ordinary medicine teaches from the grave, right? That's orthodox medicine, right? It's always been there, right?
Right.
It's nothing more than orthodox medicine is good for things that are on the way to full on, head on crash in a car, a plane crash, cut your arm off. Then an orthodox physician is great. They're technicians for the human body. Very necessary for an emergency state. However, if you maintain, you won't be in a plane crash or a car wreck or whatever. You won't get in that situation, so you won't need them in the first place. So that's called prevention. Okay, so what we teach, first of all, we teach, the usual biochemistry, right? I teach that, so I do my own formulas. Now, biochemistry, if I have 10 patients coming to me with all the same disease, let's say they all have some form of viral cold, all right? 10 patients come, if I straight use biochemistry, I'll probably get two to respond. The other 8 won't do, they'll change them, but they aren't gonna respond. That's what I call a response. Okay, then the next thing, we go back up, we go to electricity. All right, now if I treat a person with electricity methods and biochemistry methods, I'm probably gonna get 5 of them, half of them. Because now we're getting more common denominators now, because we're approaching the electrical part of the body. But if I teach from what the science is called electrical precursation, meaning the science of what goes on in the body to make electricity flow so that you can metabolize, I get 100% every time. So I figure that teaching this deep in the human body is enough right now. So my seminars go that deep. But realize that takes you right into the science of scalar waves. It takes you into two levels of subatomic physics is where it takes you. In other words, 2 times into the nucleus of the atom, 2 generations in, which you're dealing with velocities of thought, which are beyond that of speed of light. So it's pretty intense, but it's fun. But at the same time, you learn about herbs and what vitamin C is and what a bioflavonoid is and what minerals are, and all of this stuff is also covered. And how do minerals store intelligence and all this kind of stuff, which is fun.
The Department of Health Physics at Caltech, do they know this?
No, a few of them. I've been, no, I don't, probably a few of them do. I've been offered grants. I work mostly with UCI. I've got a radio show down there now. UCI is right on the house.
You live here in Southern California?
Yeah, I'm in Laguna Beach. I'm just not here a lot.
Most of the time, or are you on the road most of the time?
Well, this year I've been on the road most of the time. But normally,
you going to be at home?
Not very often. I'm home occasionally.
How does one catch you? Through him?
Seminars.
Where you are?
Yeah, him or a seminar. Saturday I'll be here.
We'll keep track of it.
Can we get your radio program?
It didn't go very far. Since I quit doing KFOX, the one I'm doing now is not that big. What's happening now is that I'm getting out, but you don't know that I'm getting out. Okay? I design systems, big, incredible systems. As a matter of fact, I've got an order today for one, another one, that world leaders use, people that influence consciousness, okay? My systems are used by major film companies, major songwriters are using them, politicians are using them, kings and queens are using them, movie stars are using
you
them.
You did say...
So their influence is there. So I'm in the background. I'm in the background.
You did say...
Yeah.
Subatomic to something greater than the speed of light.
Yeah, of course I did. I was born and raised in a laboratory. I was born in a laboratory at the University of Michigan in a hospital, in a special ward. For weirdos when they come in, you know.
Well, this suggests time reversal.
I built a time machine. I built the world's first, as far as I know, time machine and went in it.
Einstein said, speed of light, you don't age. If you go faster than the speed of light, you get
younger. That's right, you reverse it.
You get younger.
What do you think I've been doing?
He's 105.
Yeah. I'm beginning to catch on. Yeah,
yeah, you are. Yeah. Well, somebody's rising out, you know. It's like I've been doing this group here, this Debbie Kenna group here, a year now, pounding away on you guys. And believe it or not, there's a few survivors. A few of you are going to come out and start to understand where I'm coming from, because you're coming from the same place. And I'm telling you that we can easily turn this situation around in the Global 2000 report. It's going to be a fun thing. But there's a lot of people that are going to get pushed out of the way while we make this. It's like a rotating, a revolving door.
So yeah. We have to rise above the pollution and the being radiated.
First of all, you got to realize what you're in, you know. It's like, you know, you can learn to swim in water, right? The swimming in quicksand, you know, requires different strokes or oil, okay? So before you start swimming and get up on the surface and playing, you got to realize what you're really in. And those people that, you know, I see so many people in the theosophical movements, metaphysical movements, the New Age churches, the holistic movement, don't know what the hell they don't know anything. They're all in their head. They think they know it all. They know nothing. Okay? And so you have to get down a gut feeling. You got to get down. I mean, really down. I mean, you don't know. When I first started lecturing, after I came out of NASA to the American public, how many pegs? Imagine a pegboard, and I'm up on the top, and each time you pull a peg out, I fall. I think I've gone down where I was looking up at the pegboard and still had to fall some before I could start reaching people. It takes a long time to reach people on the average intelligence level. But when you reach somebody, when you finally reach somebody, that impact is tremendous. I mean, you can turn on an intellectual, and that person just intellectualizes. You get down to the American public and turn them on, and things happen, you know? You know, that happens. And the power is here. That's why the governments have been nursemaiding all of their populace. Like DHEA, which is a life extension thing that I use in the formulas. It was discovered back in the Mexican Yam in 1875. Anything that takes this stuff lives 30% longer without changing its habits, whether it be animal or man. They started taking it out of every single pharmaceutical registry of drugs. Took it all out because it's the hormones that call a drug by the medical profession, even though it's natural. In 1935, they took it out of the British one, which was the last one. So we put it in our vitamins. When we finally rediscovered it, You know, one company's already ripped off one of my formulas, the USA Marketing, that's out there now. They're going all over the place. They even copied my slogans. And I was down in Dallas and Houston, both, I think I ran. There was people at that Dallas show, wasn't there? In the USA booth, didn't they have one of those USA booths there? Do you remember?
Maybe. There was a couple of
them. Yeah. Well, I went up to the people. This is the multi-million-dollar multi-level that's got one of my formulas. But see, I only gave them part of it. I never gave them the whole thing because we were still working on it. Donsbach and myself and this guy, Morris Mann, who's a life extension guy. I only gave them the first part of it. And that's what they came out with, exactly where we had it on the drawing board. And, you know, it was really funny. We knew. Morris told me, he says, the government's going to come down on DHEA. You can't get it from the Mexican Yam. We got to go to Japan. So Morris got on a plane, and first he went to Bolivia, and then he went to Japan. And he got thrown off a cliff in Bolivia. He was down there looking in the jungle for this stuff, you know. But we finally found it in Japan. And a certain kind of muscle that grows over there. But these idiots are still making it out of the yam, and they're going to get busted by the FDA, because the FDA came right out. As soon as they saw DHEA on the market, man, they were down on it, because you can't have that, because people live too long. You know, it's a real threat to the life extension program. You know, they've had some good times with this USA outfit. I'm the only guy that I've always put, because I'm a scientist, to a scientist, when you're ahead, you call it state-of-the-art, right? And the slogan that our company has had for years is state-of-the-art nutritional systems. And what do I see when I get to the health system? State-of-the-art nutritional system. They even got my slogan. So I went up to some of their doctors, right, and I asked them what was so great about their formulas. Because all they could do is run off the marketing plan. None of them knew what the formulas were even all about. It's the funniest damn thing. So I have been ripped off, by a huge firm, and I'm really proud of that. I'm just absolutely toasting that, because we're starting to have some tremendous impact out there now. You know, it's an honor to have something stolen from me, because a lot of times I didn't have anything to steal, I had a company that tried to copy my ionizers, but they never could make them work right. We got a little, simple-looking box. There's a lot of little tricks in there, For example, that machine right there, the dirtier it gets, the more efficient it becomes.
Oh, simply because I put... real efficient,
yeah. It's probably
dirty.
Yeah, they get dirty, don't they? You can wash the whole machine off, just don't get the power supply wet. Then you got to dry it for a couple days. They won't hurt it. And the grills get dirty after a while. That's what yours is?
Well, I've never changed the filter.
Oh, my God. You ever change the oil in your car?
Well, she's Z-Power.
Z-Power right now.
Well, I do put a new filter in or...
Did you leave them going 24 hours or you turn them off when you leave?
I turn them off when I leave.
You turn the ionizer off too or just the fan?
Turn the whole thing off. Yeah. You don't need to have it on while you're not there. It just only takes 20 minutes to charge it back up the whole room again, If you have to have your windows open, put it downwind so that when it blows through the house, figure out which way the wind's blowing. You put it, you can get it that way, you can get it through your house. So you put it with the doors open and the windows open and it's blowing through, bam, it works. But don't try to make these things go upwind because it won't do it, okay? Now, has anybody got any questions on any of this stuff?
I would like to relate a story regarding my pyramid, okay. My irradiator. I put a dollar bill on my crystal in the bottom chamber because I was programming it for money.
Right.
And I went out of town and my roommate had her parents sleep in my room. And when I got back, there was a nice note that said, "Thank you for letting us use your wonderful bed," and they left me $10.
It works. Yeah, that's one of the things that we teach is... being that I have been involved with ELF for a number of years, I've been very active in a lot of these experiments that you read about, because I initiate my own, And I teach people how to initiate, their own. We build a full line of equipment, which I don't drag in for these little introductory seminars, but we have a full line of equipment that you... I give you an example. Anybody can run this, right? There's a guy that is 10 blocks from here over in Bixby Knoll. I want to say his first name, Roy, but he's on the Long Beach... Well, now he's been on there 22 years. He's been on the Long Beach Vice Squad. He's right in this town. He's a cop, undercover cop, goes in and busts pseudo operation. He's been a Vice Squad. He was 18 years on the Vice Squad when I met him. I met him through the pastor of his church, because the church had one of my devices for negative energy, so that people would have more relaxed feelings while the pastor, gave them their lesson for the day. So Roy says to me, he says, "Fred," he says, "I'm a cop, I'm a skeptic." He says, "I want to try one of your systems, I want to program it." He says, "What area do you want to program it?" He says, "Well, one area is real estate." And so he says, "Tell you what," he says, "I'll pay you cash for a system," and the system that he described is about $5,000. He says, "I'll give you half down, let me try it for 30 days. I either give you the system back, and you give me my money back, or, I'll give you the whole thing." And I says, "Okay, Roy," and I brought him a system. It was four irradiators, one of our old quad systems. I put it up in his house. And one of the things you have to do, we teach you how to program. You actually have a physical sensation of the feedback. The system actually has physical effects. You can feel the stuff. It's not something you have to imagine, So we got his system loaded, and you have these little brown envelopes that you write down your affirmation and put it in there. Like if you want the car, you go down to the car, pick out exactly the car you want. The Rolls Royce, go in, get a piece of the carpet, just pull it out, stick it in the envelope, because that's going to be your car. You program the system, right? So I go back to his house after 3 days, and the last thing I want is a vice squad after me, right? So I go after 3 days and check it out, and the system has got the curtain up against one of the irradiators and short-circuiting the ion driver. It's an electronic power supply that pulses energy into it, creates a scalar wave. So I had to fix that, So I go back to his house again in about 5 days to check it again, right? I got into the room, and I looked in the room in there, and the thing was full of those messages. I mean, there's brown envelopes in every one of the irradiators, these big, tall units. And he says, "You don't have to go in there anymore." I says, okay. I'm not going to argue with this guy. So he says, look, he says, he's had a system 2 weeks. He says, you come back in a week. And I says, okay, because I wanted him to take my vitamins. I wanted to get him because I knew he was working the system pretty hard. So it was like 3 weeks had gone by now. And I go back to his house, and I gave him some of my Excalibur formula, which produces the has the proteins in it that are necessary to produce the hormone to keep in the altered state. And he wouldn't let me in the house. He met me at the door of his house, and he just handed me an envelope. And he told me to, that was the other half of the money. He was paying me off early. He was totally satisfied. And I said, well, what are you doing with the system? And he told me it was none of my business. But he was satisfied. Just that hurt. And I said, well, Roy, I said, are you happy? And he says, I'm damn happy. He shut the door. It's the last I ever saw the guy, you know.
Oh.
I mean, this guy is intense. He was doing it, you know. Who knows what he was doing with it? I have no idea. But I know that he was doing good in real estate with it because he told me he'd closed a couple deals since he got the system. And he gave me $5,000 cash. But here's a guy, the basic hardware of this system was probably only about $3,000. Here's a guy that had me go out, and he wanted some ruby. Because he, you know, in the books, it explains that the ruby really amplifies pituitary. And I told the guy a ruby that was this big. It was raw and cut, and it cost probably $500-$600, a big raw ruby like that. And he had that in there. I mean, this guy, because we teach the mineral part of it. We use some local stones, some quartz. And when I got into that part of the teachings, he went crazy, you know. But I really never gave him that much instruction, just a basic, like a 5-minute course on the whole thing. And he picked it up. I mean, he never had, there was no tapes. Steps of Ignorance was just out. I don't think he ever read it. I didn't even have a good catalog in those days. It was just a little bit that I gave him in 5 or 10 minutes, you know. But he knew. Yeah.
Can I ask you one simple question?
Yeah.
How did Methuselah live 900 years?
Well, Methuselah, you know, there are extraterrestrials that come here. I don't know if you know that or not, but they do come. And they do have they have an influence on our society. Yeah, and Methuselah was, you know, first realized that some of the stresses that we have in our society are like when I was talking earlier, in that ambulance went by, or that was an ambulance, because I could tell by the sound of the siren, went by, right? That was an interruption. You know, and you're over by the airport, and there's a jet landing. These are stresses. Every time that one of those things shocks your system like that with that racket, it shortens your lifespan a few milliseconds. Okay? That's number one. So, Methuselah, you know, he was like in Peru. You know, it's like when they were talking about Bolivia the other day, 10% of the cocaine crop, or 5% of the cocaine crop always goes to the natives. And when Reagan asked, you know, okay, we want to shut down the plantations, the governor of Bolivia says, can't. He says, we'll have an uprising down here because the plantation supply, you know, these natives that live 150 years, because they eat these leaves along with what's called the Apana plant, and they live along on it. But it's a sacrament. It's not a drug, the way they do it. In Tibet, the Hunzikuts, they eat a lot of apricot kernels over there. One of my favorite things, too. They live 150 years, 200 years, pretty frequently. And there are areas where there isn't that much stress, and the individuals themselves have a longevity factor built in. Then what happens is you end up getting a master soul in that area that invokes the extraterrestrial intelligence, and he gets a little assistance, and now you can get to 600, 700, 800, 900 years. Pleiadians, for example, live on the average of 1,000 years. That's our central sun, Alcon in the Pleiades, the Book of Job, Sweet Sisters of the Pleiades, because the sweet influence of the Pleiades, quote unquote. See, every 25,827.5 years, our sun rotates around a central sun in the Pleiades. 12,000 years of that is darkness for our consciousness here, and 12,000 years of it is light. And we have 2,500-year sub-periods called ages, and the whole thing is called by the scientists precession of equinox, the Pleiades being the equatorial point of rotation.
Good things are going to happen now that this thing is shifted.
Well, yeah, good things are happening. Because the knowers are here now. The Pisceans were the believers, but the Aquarians are the knowers. The consciousness is different now. Okay? We know. Now, my philosophy isn't I believe, I know. If I don't know, I'll find out quick. And I'll be a knower. Because a person that's a knower will subject themselves to an experience to actualize that experience, to realize it. You got to realize it before you know it. If you don't experience, you know, if you're not positive, you don't move forward and risk uncertainties, you never learn. I'm a constant risk. Made it here today. Each day is a, to me, each day, each time the sun comes, it's a whole new world. Yesterday doesn't even exist. Tomorrow will be here when it gets here. The only thing I live in is the now. And that's the way you have to be. Just totally accept everything.
So we'll go on to the next phase here. See if anything on the other side of this thing. These tapes are a little bit funny sometimes, but we'll find out here in a minute what this one was up to. And then we will flip it to another one. Got lots of good stuff here today. Okay. Now we'll stop it, and I'm just making sure we don't miss anything. I think there's something, I don't know. We just never know with these tapes. We're waiting in suspense to see if there's something on here. If not, I'm going to toss this one, actually, because we don't need a dead tape. And this one doesn't seem like it has anything on it this far down. So what we'll do now is we're gonna talk about the Omnion. That's what we're gonna do. It's time to talk about it. When's the last time you heard all about the Omnion? Good device we make. There we go. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Where is our show?
Just being a bit stubborn here today.
I'm waiting for. Fast forward just a little bit. I'll try it.
Waters, well, this is the tape of the commanding officer of that base at the time making his investigation, and he put his investigation as he was making it in the field on cassette.
Right.
It was done at night. You hear the investigation going on. All of a sudden, the commanding officer and his men spot mysterious lights.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
And it is extremely dramatic. And we'll, I don't know if the CNN is doing a story on this also. They may beat us to the punch, but certainly they're the ones that have really helped Larry Fawcett, the original investigator in the case, unearth so much. And anyway, we can look forward to that.
When you play that one, I'll get one of my Semyasi tapes with the sounds of the Pleiadian ships that we've played on the air here a couple times.
And we'll do a little mix or something, huh?
Yeah, we'll just put a little special effects on the maybe we should use that for an opener for my show.
Now that would be interesting.
I've been wanting to put a special effects tape together for a long time, just to have it on my show, just to wake people up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fun. I remember when we did Aspen, I did Pepke Auditorium in Aspen, Colorado, back in 79, I think it was. We had a situation like you guys had last night. The place holds 1,200. We had to turn 600 away, and we had 1,800 in there. That's how hungry people are for UFO information. It's amazing.
Well, again, it was quite a situation. We had, it looked like the opening of 2010. I mean, people were wrapped around the block, and there was a lot of confusion and stuff. And again, I'd like to publicly thank everyone that came last night, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Well, I hope that everybody later on, when in about 2 or 3 weeks, when I've come out with my new catalogs, which we're in the process of doing now, in them are pictures and, you know, photographs of some of the exotic systems that we've used around the world for these kinds of things. And some of the people are would be considered very well-known public central figures that are using the systems but want to remain anonymous. But some of the equipment that they're using will be pictured in the new systems catalog and is now becoming available. I've had 2 or 3 devices that I really haven't made available to what I would call my general following in the UFO area. One of them is a unit that's quite large. It's a unit called a Firestar Orb. You've never seen anything like it. It wouldn't even fit in your studio because it's too big. It wouldn't go through the door. But it's a device that works a whole lot like, you know, how a flower attracts, at a certain point, the bee to it to do the pollination, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this device was given to me by the extraterrestrials quite a few years ago in its design. And there's only been probably 5 or 6 of them ever built in the whole world. And one of them was installed up in a house in Winding Way up in Malibu, a huge home way up over the cliffs. And the guy that put it in kind of knew what he was doing, but he really didn't. He sort of wanted to believe it, but he couldn't believe it could happen to him. And this device uses, in the center of it, it's like a giant cross. You know those radiators in my living room?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's like a giant cross there. And this cross, it's in the shape of the radiator, but on each corner of the arm of the cross is a octahedral chamber formed of 24-karat gold pyramids. And the cross itself is structured in and it has a stainless steel wire, so it has a high-tension suspension, so you can touch these wires. It sounds like a sitar. It's a very high tension, so the whole thing is like a huge crystal. And in the very center part of it, we put a diamond in it. It has diamonds in it, like 2 and 3 carat flawless-cut diamonds are suspended, once again, on a very tight suspension made up of a special wax-covered thread. And the whole system is carried up to about a 30,000 volt charge. And in each one of these quadrants of the octahedrons on each one of the corners of the unit has different gemstones. We'll put sapphires, rubies, emeralds, opals, whatever, all the way around. So we'll have 4 different opposing stones on each of the corner quadrants and this huge diamond that we use in the center. And then it's charged and it's suspended at sort of a, not exactly, you know, hung on the wall at a straight up and down position, like a completely vertical position. It's tilted back so that if you stood away from it, it would be looking at you, yet the back of the thing would be pointing up into space. And then what we do is we fire in this case, in the beginning days of these things, we were using a helium neon laser. And the helium neon laser, the first one we did was up at Aspen, Colorado. We shoot the helium neon laser right directly into the diamond in the center. And what happens is the diamond in the center then diffuses the energy, and certain amounts of it hit these different 4 different stones in the outer quadrants of the unit. This then sets up a resonant pattern that begins to oscillate and vibrate, and it increases energy at a pretty high rate of speed. And an analogy to that would be looking in the human body at the base of the spine, at the lowest chakra, the root chakra. We have what's called a 4-petal lotus. And what that means is there are 4 glands, the adrenals, the spleen, the liver, and the kidneys, that work in conjunction with one another in the bottom of the human body. And when these organs are stimulated by certain kinds of coherent radiation, which we were talking about yesterday, they cause a flow of cerebral spinal fluid to begin to move up through the bone networks, the spinal column networks, up through the base of the spine. And finally, this spinal network, this fluid, which has been released from the bottom of the spine, reaches a point at the base of the brain, which is cerebellum. Then what happens is the brain opens up. It changes its resistance. In other words, it's a certain amount of resistance when you're waking up in the morning. Your brain, you know, it seems clear once you get going and the adrenaline gets up there, versus at the end of the day, you've had a lot of input and you can hardly, you know, you're kind of foggy.
Mine works just the opposite.
Well, okay, because you're polarized backwards. But anyway, what happens is the resistance inside the brain changes when this adrenaline comes in, and what happens is the neurons in the brain then start switching at different speeds, which then links human consciousness to higher octaves into the universe. It's like this would be like a comparison of that would be someone taking LSD or psilocybin. It causes a change because LSD and psilocybin will mock up or fake out the brain as far as the serotonin structure is concerned, because they look very similar to it. But what happens is the consciousness of the user actually changes. But in the case of adrenaline or the movement of the kundalini, this is a natural change. It's not a drug-related change. It's an automatic change that takes place, which then sends out or causes a person, in the case of consciousness, to be aware, to have a cosmic awareness, to have the third eye open, to have all these things happening. And then what happens is electromagnetic energies move with less and less resistance up and down the spinal column, so that you end up with a screening across the entire gray matter of these electromagnetic energies. It's almost like a waveform. So what happens is the gray matter is now illuminated or activated or turned on or switched on or lit up or whatever your terminology would be, and so this then causes the consciousness of the body to become awakened into this higher realm of knowledge. Now, in the case of a lot of ET contacts, a lot of these people that have been contacted on a what I would call a steady basis and have been proven to be credible type of contactees have gone through this change. Like, for example, when the Montgomery lady writes about those books on ETs and Brad Steiger, all of these people have had some kind of higher awakening. Well, the Firestar Orb works on the principle of the excitation field, whereby this energy is moved up the base of the spine, but instead of moving it up the base of the spine, because this is something that's suspended in a building, it causes the entire building to start vibrating using the core frequencies of the earth. And so when the core frequencies of the earth are tapped into by this kind of a device, what happens is it sends out like a beacon out into space. It goes all the way out. You know, it's quite interesting the way this thing works. This beacon then sets up an energy that if the locality is such that it can handle this kind of energy, there's a veil that is lifted, and there's a lot more UFO activity. You know, in some cases, for example, people that have opened astral vision, for example, could see a UFO, and another person standing right next to them couldn't see it. Yet, you could have two or three people agreeing that they're actually seen or have seen a UFO, and one or two people that haven't seen anything. And the ones that saw it, it might have been just like a very quick flash, because motion in and out of the astral plane is like breathing, but it takes very quickly. In other words, it takes place very quickly, this actual breath of the universe, our own breathing cycle. If you realize how quick the moment that you breathe in and you start breathing out, there's a very fast transaction between the moment you've let the air out and the moment it starts coming in. In other words, the rate, the diaphragm. Now, the diaphragm, for example, in the body could move very slowly, but because it's a large surface area located at the base of the lungs. But looking at the passageways, the small passageways whereby the air, the high velocity of the air comes into the nose, the switching speed and the velocity of the air going through the venturias of the nose is quite high in relationship to the speed of the diaphragm. It's the same thing that happens with some of these UFO sightings when they move onto the physical and onto the astral and back and forth. So you have to be somewhat attuned to this to actually see it, unless it's a full-blown knockout, drag-out sighting like we do occasionally have, where masses of people, are just there and they're seeing it because it's just a complete drop from that higher plane into this dimension that we're in now, which we're getting more and more of those sightings. So these are the kinds of things that have to be taken into consideration. I remember back when we were doing spoon bending classes up at Lake Tahoe, sometimes we would have witnesses to our class. And when Lawrence Kennedy or one of the students would get up there and bend the spoon, you know, some people would come to our classes and they would be taking the classes, but other people, their friends, would be there for part of the class, and they would just be utter disbelievers. In their mind, it was absolutely impossible for them to witness the phenomenon of a spoon being bent by mental energy. And so what would happen is Lawrence would sometimes grab the spoon for a skeptic, put it right in front of his face, and the moment that spoon would bend, the person would blink their eyes, they would turn their heads, or they would become distracted. I've seen that time and time again, and we would talk about that phenomenon. And that person's spirit just isn't ready to witness that degree of advancement, because that is almost like an initiation when you actually begin to see this happening. The same thing happens with the extraterrestrials because of our relationship in the universe right now. Some people just aren't ready for it. Some people try to be ready for it. They get caught in the fever of the group and the enthusiasm of the group. But when the actual encounter comes, they can't be there. They have to leave. They have to come and then leave right away. There's a million different excuses that people will conjure up because they're really not ready for that fast vitality or that high vitalizing of their bodies yet. They're still working out earthly karma. So anyway, the Firestar was one application of the laser, and if we put one in Hawaii. But anyhow, getting back up to the one in Malibu, when we installed that one, that was number two, the second one to ever be built in this world. This guy that I put in his house, he was a big businessman over in Century City. And one of the guys that was working with him was a medical doctor. He was probably one of the most grounded out medical doctors that I've ever met. He was a nice guy, you know, these nice guy types, very professional, but not even about to hear anything that he didn't want to hear, or if it wasn't written in a medical textbook. This guy could barely handle vitamins, you know. He believed they were good, but he didn't know why, because they don't teach nutrition. And he was very grounded out. Well, one morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got this call. And you got to realize that this doctor was like the kind of guy that after 8 o'clock, he never called you, because he was like totally respective of people's time, and he never called you before, say, 8 o'clock in the morning. Here I get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and this guy is on the phone. He sounds like he's having a nervous breakdown, you know. And I asked him, I said, John, what are you calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning? This is completely out of your character pattern. And he's like freaked, and he says, Fred, I didn't believe you, but now I do. Because what had happened is some kind of a UFO had come up the coast from Malibu, from Point Dune down there. They said they where they first saw it, because they were, I guess, having a couple of drinks or something late at night. It came up and came outside the house, and this house was like sitting by itself on about 20 acres of land, and this thing proceeded to go around the house. And the house had like skylights in it, and there was a red glow coming down through the skylights into the house. At first they said they felt something, and they looked up at the machine because the laser was bright red where it hit that diamond. It was glowing. But then they looked out the skylights, and they thought that outside the skylights was a continuation of the reflection of the diamond being struck by this red laser. But it wasn't. It was this outside vehicle that was feeding back red light back into it. And the other interesting experience that we had happened was up at Aspen. And this is where we got into... We learned how to transmit back and forth. This is back in the early days of, what I would call heavy group communication. We built a machine. I've got pictures of it here. We were up in an area called Bluebells, right up by a pyramid, a place called Pyramid Peak. And we were up about 9,500 feet up. And we had a series of irradiators, and one of these fire stars pointed out at this point over the Pyramid Peak. And we began to see some lights up there. It was too far away to make out any physical size of the craft that we saw. We could just see some lights that were in a pattern, and they were quite a bit brighter than Jupiter. And this was an evening when we were experimenting around with the ionizer, but it wasn't like an ordinary ionizer that you've seen. This was like a 50 kV ionizer, and we were pulsating it. We were actually turning it off and on with a huge switch so that the entire system built up a field and then dropped the field. And we found that if we could pulse it three or four times, the twinkle or the lights out of, above the Pyramid Peak would absolutely go into the same pattern. So we began to establish this transmission pattern back and forth. And this was not a mental type communication. This was hard physical communication. And the next morning in the Aspen paper carried a large article about these mysterious lights that had been seen hovering over the town that night. So these are just a couple of the experiences that we've had with the things like the Fire Star. So I finally decided I might as well make it available to a few more people.
Dr. Bell, before we continue with that, I would like to take a time out for something that is very important. That is a word from Excalibur. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show right after this. The name is Excalibur. Excalibur, the world's finest nutritional supplement for the 80s that you've heard Dr. Fred Bell speak of so often, is now available to you at a super low price, only $14.95. Excalibur is a synergistically formulated supplement that took years to develop and guarantees maximum assimilation within the body. Most supplements meet only part of your nutritional needs, but Excalibur is a full-spectrum nutritional supplement. Don't settle for second best when you can have Excalibur. Order today by calling area code 714-499-2603. That number, 499-2603. Or write to Excalibur, 891 Santa Ana Street, Laguna Beach, California, 92603. Remember, don't settle for second best when you can have Excalibur. And we are back on the Dr. Fred Bell Health, Science, and Energy Show. And Dr. Bell, I believe that $14.95 price for Excalibur is a special to KFOX listeners, is it not?
Right. The retail price on that is $28.50 in our catalog. So it's not what I would call an inexpensive formula, but because it has the B15 and all the complete complexes of everything in it, it's a great buy. I'll tell you, people that have taken that and started taking it, never stopped, including myself. I've been on it for several years now.
And certainly that $14.95 price is quite a discount.
It is. You know, a lot of people, there's just, because of the very, very poor condition of the ultraviolet, you know, the ozone layer and high quantities of ultraviolet that are coming in right now, it's the time of year when we really get baked in it, plus the increased amount of sulfur emissions in the air. It's causing a lot of breakdown in the immune systems of the body. The result is that everybody that I know has at least a slight head cold. Most people right now are feeling this. These are all parts of what's called a strain called the rhinovirus. And you're probably noticing a few people around not feeling too well, right?
As a matter of fact, I myself had a little touch of something, but not to any degree like
right.
Some of the others have.
Just like me, you know, I did not lose one working day this year. And I had some friends of mine that were not taking the Excalibur go down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, down for a week in bed. One attorney friend of mine was flat on his back for 3 days. People that are taking the Excalibur and formulas like that, which there really aren't that many, you'll get hit with it. We're not saying that you're going to be immutable to everything, because that's the human factor here. But if you want to amplify the Excalibur, when you know you're getting hit with it, just slow down on dairy products and mucus-forming foods and go to a higher concentration of raw foods and vegetables, fruits and vegetables. Me, I had to go on fruit for a day and a half, which I don't mind doing. And boy, I'll tell you, it just my system cleared right up immediately. So I just have a little residual in the sinus cavities now, which isn't that much. But I'm telling you, you know, that keeping the immune system up really pays off. And Excalibur is excellent for that. Also, I want to remind everybody that Christmas time is coming, and I'll tell you, instead of buying these, you know, I don't get caught, I get caught in the Christmas spirit, but I don't get caught in the Christmas rush and the commercialism of Christmas. This is totally it's just a waste of time, and it shows a lack of integrity to get caught in this greed factor that seems to prevail. But what I feel is really important is handing out or giving away health for Christmas, and the Excalibur and some of the other health products that are available right now
especially on the Debbie Kenner show, she's got a lot of things that complement Excalibur, make excellent gifts, and they're the kind of gifts that people will appreciate because it shows that you've thought long enough to care about them a little bit, you know? And speaking about caring, I'll be hoping that everybody will come out and see us, I think it's January 4th and 5th, at the Pasadena Convention Center with the National Health Federation. We're all going to be out there having a lot of fun for about 2 or 3 days. I'll have some of my toys out there. And also, we've got some really good tape series coming up now. I got my tape man editing the last 6 months of my KFOX tapes now down into 3 or 4 segments of information. And I think that people out there would like to get those because we've covered a lot of stuff in the last 6 months. You know it, Jim?
Yeah. Well, do you know what your booth number is going to be?
No, I don't know yet. I know it, but it's, I have to go downstairs and look. I think it's usually in the 60s. I forget. 69 seems like it was always a good number for me, you know.
Well,
believe it or not, I've had that number 3 or 4 years, you know. But usually it ends up as an 8 numerologically, but 69 doesn't. So it's either that or numerologically it'll add up to an 8, which is my birth sign number. I've had, usually when I go to a hotel or get a health booth, you know, in these different shows, it's always an 8. But I'll look it up and have it up ready by tomorrow's Wednesday, so I'll have it on the show tomorrow. I'll have all the information in front of it.
We want to let all the Fred Bell fans know where they can find you.
Right. Maybe if everybody... Last year was fun because we had a complete room. I don't know if I'll do it this year, because it was a lot of work, but we had a complete room last year at the National Health Federation. All to ourselves. We had our booth plus a room, and I had a laser show that ran in there. I had Steve Halpern up there with his music, and I had Larry Jacobs with his back slants, those backy things that he sells that you lay on. They're like a cushion that you lay down backwards on. I mean, if your feet are higher than your head. We had them in a circle last year, and then we had on the ceiling, it was about a 25 by 25 square foot room. It was totally black. We had a quadrasonic stereo system in there, and we had 4 or 5 big lasers running continuously, and we had a couple of sound computers so that the lasers were being fed into a series of optics, and the optics projected up on the ceiling, so it looked like you were out in space going from one galaxy to another with all kinds of, like, you know how, like, in Star Wars, they go into space drive, you know, faster than speed of light drive, how everything blurs out and everything changes. We were doing that, and we ran that for 3 days, and we got people so high in there that they would fall asleep. I mean, it would just take them right out because of the music, and they would wake up. And the guards would be running them out at night. They would be out for like 3 or 4 hours. I don't know if we're going to do that this year. We might. But that was fun. We had a great time out there last year. And so I like to have... The NHF is always fun. But so anyway, it's too bad that KFOX is not a television show. When are we going to have television? KFOX television, Jim?
Well, I don't know if that's really in the offing.
We could get up on maybe channel 82 or something, you know, and have coherent transmissions on the video beams on people's television sets.
Well, you perfect the technology, and then we'll take advantage of it.
That would be fun.
For the latest information on Dr. Bell's work, new audio and video tape releases, product discounts, or if you just have questions, please contact Dr. Bell's Tape Library, 9320 Roselindale Avenue, Arleta, California, 91331, or call area code 818-896-1621. Thank you.
Another show. So we'll see you Thursday, 5 o'clock Pacific, live show.